In this last session that we have,
session yo maliza ino imeneti nayo,
I was asking the Lord what to talk about because and he sent me to a book. Amen.
Amen.
This morning I'm preaching from what it means to be as wise as a serpent. And so when Pastor started talking about speed, I started to laugh in the corner over there. I said, the spirit is one. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, the Lord had some very interesting words. He was sending his disciples out just in the same way that he's going to send us out of this conference. And he had some words for them, which I think we need to remind ourselves also of. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. I think some of us can relate to that. Because where you are, things are not easy. Hello? If you're a sheep in the midst of wolves, what it means is that you can be attacked at any time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It means that you are not even at ease because you just know that you're surrounded. Hello?
Amen.
Are you in the house? One time David was writing a psalm. The psalm we know, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he says, thou preparest a table before me. I mean, the Lord has made spread a table for David. And he was just about to go and eat. And then he said, in the midst, my enemies. So you're about to eat, but the enemies are looking. I said, you're about to feast, but the enemies are looking. And so Jesus says, he sends us forth as sheep among wolves. And he gives us two pieces of advice, two things to do to survive among the wolves. Please, can I have my scripture there? Matthew 10:16.
Matthew 10, Jeremiah 16.
Now he says, because I send you out as sheep among wolves. The scripture, please. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. Is there somebody in control of scriptures this morning? Okay. I thank God you are in my brother's church. In my church, you'd be half dead already. He gives us two pieces of advice. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The church has listened to only half of this scripture.
Mpingo wangomvera half ya malemba amenewa.
To be harmless as doves.
Kungo kala ona ntima ngati nkunda.
Because that one looks better.
Chifwa imeneyo ndimene ikuoneka kobwino ya Chikristo.
Because nobody likes to be like a snake.
Chifwa palibe amene afuna azikhala ngati njoka.
Nobody likes to be like a serpent.
Palibe amene afuna azikhala ngati njoka.
I don't know who here isn't who likes serpents. Do you like snakes?
Ndani pano amakonda njoka? Alipo amakonda njoka?
I mean, we are from so many different places in the world, but I think we all agree that we don't like snakes.
Anthu pano majokera madera osiyana siyana dziko lapansi koma tonse timagwirizana kuti aliyese sakonda njoka.
Hello. If we ask a question, who likes food? Everybody, people will say different things. Some will say, I like sima. Some will say, I like rice. Some will say, I like bananas. If I ask who does not like some kind of food, some people will not like, some people will like it. But if there's one thing we all agree about, it is that we don't like snakes. Hello? If a chicken walks into this hall this morning, some of us will ignore it. And we'll leave it to the ushers to try and drive the chicken out. If a sheep comes in this way, depending on the state of our pocket, we might try to catch it or we might drive it away. But we'll relax and let some people do the work. But if a snake walks up here this morning, I said, if a snake walks in here this morning, the whole room will be in uproar. Some of us will be running away to save ourselves. Others will be looking for sticks. Some will be looking for stones. Why? Because we all have a common hatred for this animal. We all have a common hatred for this animal called a snake. And yet this is the animal that the Lord Jesus used as a good example. Because of a certain aspect of the snake. Hello?
Amen.
He says, be wise as serpents. You see, this animal we all have agreed that we hate. You know, we dislike it so much. If Jesus had not said these words, we would never have considered that it has any good attributes at all. But Jesus said, this animal is wise. The serpent is wise. And you know what? We have to agree. Because I want to ask you, how come all of us hate snakes and yet they are still there? Hello? You know, as we are sitting here in this hall, there are no lions around us. Lions.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but in my country we have eaten all. There are no elephants around. I mean, these are big, mighty animals with strength. The only lions that are existing in many places are the lions who are protected by laws. Meanwhile, lions are impressive animals. They are impressive. We are afraid of them. They are strong. They are fast. They are actually even quite beautiful. But I tell you, they have not survived. They have not survived the onslaught of humanity. Same for the elephants. Same for the crocodiles. But as we sit in this hall, I promise you there are snakes on this compound. It has not occurred to you, because they are there. How come they have survived? They have a wisdom. They have a wisdom that others do not seem to have. Nowhere in the world is there a law protecting snakes. We are conserving the snakes because they are almost wiped out. I have not heard of any such. They are surviving. In fact, allow me to say, they are not just surviving, they are thriving. Allow me to say, they are not just thriving, they are doing well. They are doing so well that every time we catch a snake, we are worried that their children are somewhere around. Hello? Hey, one day, many years ago, I was in my first job. It was on a farm. I trained in animal science, so I look after animals. This was my first job. And they got me a place to stay. Now on this farm, apparently that house had been empty for about 8 years. So when I was employed, they just renovated it and I went to stay there. Oh, my father was not happy with me at all. He said, look at your friends. They are all going to office looking very nice. What is this agriculture, this animal science you have gone to do? Look at you. But he allowed me to take the job. I'd stayed in that house for 8 weeks when my sister came to pay me a visit. And you know, ladies, I don't know if you have a sister. When your sister visits, what happens? We talked all morning, we talked all afternoon, we talked all evening. Now this farm, that was a whole village, it was time to go to bed. Everybody used to go to bed very early, there was nothing to do. But because it was, she was there, we'd been talking till about 10 in the night. Then my sister said, let me go to the washroom and then we'll go to bed. And she left where I was sitting and she went to the washroom.
And
she opened the door. And then I heard a scream. Like a scream I have never heard. As she opened the door, there on top of the loo of the toilet was a huge snake. And my sister screamed, and God being so good, the door was the kind of door that shuts itself when you leave it. So when she left the door shut. Oh, we ran out of the house and we went to call a colleague, and he came with his gun and he could not find that snake. And then he said to us, there's only one place that snake could have gone to. Into the toilet. And I said, how will it survive there? Anyway, we shut the door, we went to bed. I thank God Bishop Dark had not yet written his book about snakes. Because if I had read it, I don't think I'd have been able to sleep. Because I had gone to sleep in ignorance, thinking that the snake would not be able to get out. And so the next day I quickly ran up to the place where we were working, and they sent some people to come down, I tell you, to find that snake. They had to break into the entire system.
It took
a team of 5 men. About 5 hours.
5 hours
to get that snake. And when they got it, they stretched it out. It was like from there to about there. But you know what? They said to me that this snake has been living with you in this house. All the weeks you have been here.
8 weeks you say makala na njoka.
But for the visit of my sister, I probably would have lived there for the 3 years I was there. Then my neighbor. Then my neighbor came around and she said, so this is the creature who has been eating my eggs. I have been beating my children for nothing. My chickens have been laying eggs and the eggs get lost. And I've been knocking the children, stop stealing my eggs.
Hey.
And now we have found the snake we have killed. Now, are their children still under? No wonder Jesus said, as he is releasing us back into the world to go and do whatever, as sheep among wolves, he says, take with you the wisdom of the serpent. Take with you the wisdom of the serpent. Take with you the wisdom of the most hated creature in the world. Most hated and yet most successful. Oh yes. Many animals have not survived the creation of modern cities. Snakes have. Amen.
Amen.
Can you see that you are going to survive where you are going? You are going to survive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was watching CNN news one day.
CNN.
And they brought up this picture. Right in the middle of the city of New York. A city of cement and pavement. There was a snake in a McDonald's toilet coming up. I tell you, the way the snake has managed to survive in an area of cement, that's how you are also going to survive in whatever place God has sent you to. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in this book, Bishop gives us several characteristics of snakes. And this morning, I'm only going to give you two or three of them. And the one that I felt led to pick as the first one is something that Pastor Issa spoke about a few minutes ago. And it is the characteristic of snakes that snakes are masters of speed. Do you remember he was saying we should pray that we would be fast, we should pray for speed. One of the characteristics that has helped the snake to survive is speed. Let us read two scriptures. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 7, please. Matthew 28:7. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall be seen by him. Can you see it there? Go quickly. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 46.
Numeri chapter 16.
And verse 46. Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague is begun.
Tenga chofuki Israel chako ndipo ikamurubani pamodzi ndi moto chokera paguwa la nsembe. Fulumila pita pakulanthuwo ndipo ukachite nsembe.
This is just to show us that there are times when the Lord tells us go quickly.
Izi zingodonetsa kuti pali nthawi zimene Mulungu amanena kuti pita ukachite mwachangu.
Even Judas, he advised him to do it quickly. Snakes survive because of their speed. One of the most feared snakes in the whole world is the black mamba. And the black mamba can run as fast as 100 meters runner.
100 meters.
Those a runner, an athlete running 100 meters, a black mamba can run that
black
fast.
Mamba imataku tamanga 100 meters mena matamangira otamangaja.
In fact, snakes are so fast
njoka tuzima tamanga kwambiri
that sometimes when you meet a snake you're not sure if it's bitten you or not. You are not sure if it has bitten you or not. Because it's just so fast. It's just so fast. And it's gone. And you are left wondering, did it bite? Or did it not bite? Speed. And that's why this morning I want to give you a few areas of speed. Already Pastor Esau started preaching it, so you should just remember those points. But speed. Number one. Answer your call.
Speed.
Answer your call with speed. Some of us know that we are called to be pastors, but we are dragging our feet. Just answer. The longer you wait, the more complex it's going to become. Hello? Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
Let us go to Acts chapter 9. Verse 17 to 20. Where we see Apostle Paul, he was not yet an apostle, he had just received the Lord and he was blind. And the Bible says, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto you in the way, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight and arose and was baptized. He took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. The King James is saying straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Here is somebody who had just gone through a very traumatic experience. Something that shook the foundations of his life. You need to remember that he was a Pharisee and he had grown up as such in the synagogue. And the Pharisees and Sadducees had all denied Jesus. Then Paul has his encounter. And as soon as his sight is restored, he doesn't spend time even thinking through a strategy. He begins to preach Christ. Immediately. What has God called you to do that you're still walking around? Another area of speed. Respond quickly to your visions. Respond quickly to your visions. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, Apostle Paul had a vision to go to Macedonia from verse 9 to 11. They said, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over to Macedonia to help us. When he had seen the vision, immediately they sought to go into Macedonia. He had had a vision. He didn't start chatting and talking with a lot of people about it. He moved. I said he moved. Amen.
Amen.
As we have stood, we have been here in these 4 days. I am sure that if you were open in your spirit, God has been talking to you about something. Speed. 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 The more time you waste, the harder it will be to do it. Amen. Yes, it is true that, oh yes, we plan and we strategize. But let me tell you something. Start.
Yambani.
Start.
Yambani.
Start.
Yambani.
Start.
Yambani.
Get moving.
Yambani kuenda.
Because if you delay, the grace that has come with whatever he has revealed to you will lift. During our time in Tamale, in the north of Ghana, Bishop Doug paid us a visit. He used to visit us every year, sometimes twice. But something happened during this particular visit that I will always remember. Towards the end of the service, he began to take an offering. He was holding the offering basket himself. And then he said, I want 10 people to bring an offering. I forget the amount. But it would be something like your 50,000, something like that. So people came. And he said, how many people is that? Remember, he said 10 people. But suddenly he had 13 people. So he said, oh, 13 is a funny number. Let's increase it to 20. So come on, I want 20 people.
Okay, 20.
And suddenly he had 22 people.
Oh, 22
is a funny number. He was just looking for a round figure, you know. Pastor, I will never forget it. One moment we were laughing at what he was saying. And the next moment, there was a shift in the spiritual atmosphere in the room. And suddenly, the room felt cold.
You
see, listen, the north of Ghana is where it is hot. So is the hottest part of the country. We realized that something has happened. Then he held the basket and he said, as many people as come with that offering, so shall be the number of branches of the church that we would have in that part of the country. And all of a sudden, From that same group of people, people started coming. And they came and they came. 40 people, 50, 70, 90. It went on and on. I remember the figure up until today. 142 people came with that offering. My husband and I said, well, it means God has commissioned us to build 120 congregations. Now, this is where things got interesting. We were in a very rural part of the country. The church was a mix of people from different places. Some of us spoke the local language, many of us didn't. But let me tell you something. As soon as that meeting was over, and Bishop Doug left, my husband announced and said, well, if you are interested to start one of these churches, come and see me. Young men and young women came and said, I'm ready to start. I'm ready to start. I'm ready to start. I'm ready to start. Now, remember that we were in an Islamic environment. All the communities around us were Islamic communities. But I have to tell you, every single one of those churches started. Not only that, we had Muslim chiefs sending their people, they would send their elders to us and say, you have started a church in this community. Where is my church? You have not started in my
community.
What had happened? There was a grace that had come with that way. And everyone who ran with that grace successfully started a church. But there were also others. Oh, I want to think about it a little. I want to pray about it a little. I'm not sure that I'm ready. A month has passed. When they went to start, it was so difficult. Because by then, that grace had
lifted.
I need to tell you that by the time we were leaving that area, when we were being transferred, 123 of those churches had begun.
120 churches transfer.
The word had come and we moved. Did we have a plan? Not immediately. We started. And then we began to organize it. We moved on that wave. We moved on that grace. We moved on that wind. Man of God, woman of God, you've been here. This is your fourth day. God has said something to you. Start moving. Start moving. Start moving. And as you move, you begin to plan and to sort it out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Snakes are masters of speed. They don't always get the time to organize themselves. Have you never been walking at a place and then something goes pip? What was that?
Yeah.
The snake was on its way. Then it saw you. It do so a turn and vanish. Masters of speed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to be fast also to recognize anointed people.
Muzikitaso changu kukandiri wiro po zindikira anthu amene alodzodzedwa.
In Mark chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 53.
Marko 6, ndime ya 53.
When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored on the shore. Continue. When they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran about that whole country and began to carry here and there on their pallets those that were sick to the place that they heard that he
atangotuluka mbwato anthu anamuzindikira Yesu nthawi yomwe anathamanga uku nduku dera lonse nakanyamula wodwala pamachira kupita nawo kuli konse kumene anamva kuti kuli iye.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They recognized that the anointed man was around.
Anazindikira kuti odzodzedwa munthu
wafika. They didn't waste time.
Sana taintao.
Immediately.
Nthawi yomwe.
Speed.
Liwiro.
You know, you may be here for different reasons. You may be here because Pastor Issa is your friend. You may be here because Pastor Lois is your friend. But I want you to be fast to see an anointing. Don't just see your friend. Don't just see somebody you respect. See an anointing. It takes an anointing to move people who are not connected to this ministry from one place to another. Hello.
Amen.
Now that I'm talking about one of your own, you see how you have become quiet. You are wondering whether he has paid me to say what I'm saying. I'm sure he's very uncomfortable at what I'm saying, but it is the truth. Allow me to say it.
Yeah.
Africans are notorious for not recognizing their own anointed people. If he was a white man, you would have seen us. It's the same with my father. Yeah. And that's why I'm sharing with you what I said. Be fast to recognize an anointing. And plug yourself into that anointing. Yeah. In Ghana, there are people who did not recognize that Bishop Doug was anointed. It was when their ministries ran into trouble. That's when they realized that somebody had the anointing that would have helped them. Don't let that be your story. Recognize it. It is an anointing. It is only the anointing you respect and value that comes upon you. So yes, you were in class 3 with him. With Pastor Issa. Yes, you were there when he was courting his wife and you knew all the history. It's true. But now, I said now, see the anointing. See the anointing. Yeah. Listen, Pastor Issa is my father's person. Is not, we are not at the same level of ministry. He's up there. He has founded the way. Me, I have not founded anything. I've told you I'm a daughter. But when I got here, I saw an anointing. Yeah. What I saw? I saw an anointing. Yeah. I saw an anointing. Yeah. I saw an anointing. I told my people, I said, this conference, it has happened this year, but it's not ending this year. It's going to continue. Yeah. And this was before all the drama of yesterday.
Yeah.
I could see an anointing. How come you are blind, you cannot see? Some of you are there, you say the man, he has money. You have taken a gun and you have shot your foot. It's not money. It is anointing. If that money was in your hand, it would not have done what we are witnessing and what we are partaking today. It's an anointing. Be fast to recognize it. I said, be fast to recognize it. Wow. Are you in the church? And some of you, in order to recognize it, you need to be fast to disengage from some friends that you have. You know, we all have those kind of friends, you know. They say, oh, it's not anything. It's not anything. He's just a lucky man. I mean, God, you know. Disengage. Disengage. You're not quarreling, just disengage. You know, when I realized that God was calling me into the ministry, I had to disengage from a lot of things. I disengaged from all the women around me who were interested in hair, in clothes, in the latest gossip, in the children, and just the films, and what we are going to eat. I had to disengage. Because if I had not disengaged, I couldn't have followed my spiritual path. Yeah. And we would go to places. Our father has gone there, so we are going. I will pay the price and we'll go. Did I miss my children? Of course I missed my children. But look, I was chasing an anointing. I said I was chasing an anointing. I remember the day I knelt down by my bed. First it was with my husband. I could see that he was moving after the Lord. And I knelt down. I said, Lord, you've called this man. I let go. I let go my rights as a wife. I let go my rights to his time. Oh, I was crying like a baby, but I let go. A short while later, I had to do the same thing for my children. And I knelt down. I said, Lord, I commit my children to you. I let go my rights. I let go. And Lord, as I take care of your business, take care of my children. Heaven is a witness. God took care of them. Oh yes. This year is my 37th year of marriage. My husband is still is my closest person. Our relationships with our children are tight. We talk every day. But first, I had to let go. I had to disengage. Yeah. Some people here, you have to disengage fast. Doesn't mean you didn't look after your children. How would I not look after my children? But the day comes when your service to God is going to compete with
that.
And that's when you must know that you have to choose Jesus. Yeah. Oh, are you there? I'm trying to finish soon. Recognize the anointing. Some of you have to disengage from some things so that you can spend a little time moving about this ministry and learning something. Let's continue. We are learning about speed. Increase your speed of tackling the harvest. There is a harvest for you and me wherever we are. Mark chapter 4, verse 26-29. I'm reading in the American Standard Bible, and it says, he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How, he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. There is a harvest all around you. And you need some speed to gather in that harvest. Many churches do not do any evangelism or any crusades. If you're doing, in fact, you are considered to be doing well when you have one crusade in the year. You need to do more than that. You need to do more than that. Because the harvest is ready. How do I know that the harvest is ready? You have so many young people in this nation. I need to tell you, you catch them young. You have so many poor people in this nation. I need to tell you that the gospel belongs to the poor. Don't wait. When you wait for those young people to become mature men, then you start preaching men and women, they will not even respond to you. You have waited too long. I said you have waited too long. You need to go to the young ones. I told you that my church is full of young people. These are university people. And we do our best to reach them for the Lord. But after a while, Bishop Doug began to say that it's too late. By the time they come to the university, their lives are ruined already. Hello? Yeah. That is true. You see, when you are the age of many of you, sometimes you don't know how desperate the situation is. Because young people are experts at pretense. So when your children come home, they pretend to be the perfect people that you have raised. But when they're in school, they are a different group of people. So following on from what my father said, this year I took out three of my very good pastors. They were pastors who were busy working, and I told them, stop everything you're doing and come. And I said to them, you have only one job to do now. You know, in Ghana, our secondary schools are boarding schools. And they have tried to cut off the church in many ways. Have tried to cut off churches in many ways. That's the educational ministry has cut off. And so I said to my pastors, I said, we cannot leave them. The only work you have until the Holy Ghost says something else is to go into these secondary schools using whatever means the Holy Spirit gives you and just go and minister to these children. I need to tell you it is hard work. Now, these three pastors are also teachers. So they have an inner knowledge of how the secondary school system works. And sometimes they go into a set, they just walk in. Or should I say they slide in? And they go to sit under a tree. And when a young person is passing, a student, hello, can I talk to you for a minute? And they strike up a conversation. And the children will respond. And after talking to this one, they say, do you have any friends? Then you go and call the friends. Two, three, four, five. After 4 months, I called them in for a meeting. Albert is somewhere. He's my witness. And I asked them, what I'm saying, is it true or is not true? I asked them, as the pastoral body, can you give us an account of your work for the past 4 months? I have forgotten the figure. How many children had they won to the Lord by then? They gave us a figure. I think it was 800 and something. I don't remember something.
800.
And we began to clap. Then they told us, they had written, we traveled 4,500 kilometers from school to school, witnessing, talking. We have converts in 11 schools. We have brought this number of children to the Lord. Hallelujah! We cannot wait for perfect conditions. The children are dying right out there. And we have to be there. We have to be there. There is a harvest around you. Maybe in your village you need to go and talk to one farmer at a time on the farm. I don't know, the Holy Spirit knows. But you have to find a way to bring in that harvest. Hallelujah. And you have to find it quickly. Amen. I have one or two more points, then we go to another thing. Increase your speed of moving away from those who reject you. Do you remember when the people of the Gadarenes rejected Jesus? After the healing of the madman of Gadara, he didn't waste time. He just moved on. Not everybody will believe in your call, and when they don't, just move on. Hallelujah. Increase your speed in detecting disloyalty. Unfortunately, I couldn't get into that yesterday, but you can get the book Loyalty and Disloyalty and get to recognize the signs of disloyalty and deal with it. Increase your speed to root out foolishness. In Job chapter 5, verses 1-4, again the American version, it says, call now, is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the holy ones will you turn? For anger slays the foolish man and jealousy kills the simple. I have seen the foolish taking root and I cursed his abode immediately.
Yobu chapter 5, ndiwerenga verse 3, ine naona chitsiru chitamera mizu, koma sanga nyumba yake inatembereredwa.
Some of us allow foolishness to flourish around us.
Ena afeti malorera uchitsiru kuti uzichita uzimera ntenga pakati pathu.
Act on it fast.
Pangani mwachangu kuti muchotse.
act on it fast. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen and amen. I am only going to talk to you. You know, this book has so many things. It's right at the table. Please get yourself a copy, because there's much to learn from the serpent. We have talked about the fact that the serpent is fast. Masters of speed. The second and last one I want to talk to you about the snake is that they are masters at overcoming handicaps. I have to find the word for handicap, because that's what we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
Masters at overcoming handicaps. The book of Revelations tells us many times, to him that overcomes, there's always a reward. You find it in Revelations 2:7, you find it in Revelations 2:17, and you find it in 3:21, to him that overcometh. So we have to overcome. And we're saying that the snake overcomes handicaps. What is a handicap? A handicap is something that severely limits you. A handicap is something that makes you different from others. A handicap is something or a disadvantage that makes success more difficult. A handicap, it can be a physical thing, it can be a social disability, but whatever it is, it makes your participation in ministry more difficult. And we're saying that the serpent or the snake is a master at overcoming handicaps. What are some of the handicaps of the snake? When other animals have legs and can walk and move, they must crawl on the belly. Some animals can even stand up for a time. I mean, it's only, I would have asked somebody to lie flat and see how much of this world you can see from the ground. Snakes have very poor eyesight. They cannot see. They also do not hear well. It's a disability that they have. And because of that, they are only aware that you are near when you are almost there, because it's the vibration on the ground that they feel.
Hello?
Masters of handicaps. They are also deaf. They cannot hear. No eyes. No ears. No hands. No feet. And yet they are surviving more than any animal in the world. Clearly they have overcome their handicap. So the handicap is there, but it has not been able to stop them. Hello?
Amen.
These snakes that we are saying, are you not surprised they don't have all these things?
Because
the way they are, and the way they are in everything, you would have thought that it's because they have so much. I don't know about you, but I've seen a snake coming down from a tree before. There are snakes that fly. They just go through the air like that. There are snakes that swim in water. You see, if the snakes had been like our Ghana movies and Nigeria movies, the snake would have been sitting in one corner crying. Lord, I don't have any hands. I don't have any feet for me. I don't know if you have Malawi movies, but I really dislike our movies because of this thing. They don't inspire any courage. It's just that, for me, I'm helpless. Do you know the part of the movie that annoys me the most? After she has cried like that for a long time, then you'll see her walking down the street holding her rubber bag. She'll be holding a small bag, walking down the street. Then a man in a fantastically posh car will come and stop. And so, oh, beautiful lady, why are you crying? All your problems, come, let me solve all your problems. I'll pay your school fees. Where is your mother? That is not life. That's not real. And some of you have bought that lie. I said, some of you have bought that lie. You are sitting in your church saying that, oh God, it's very hard for me. And you are expecting that very soon a posh car. Somebody will build your church. Look.
Hey.
It's not like that, oh. It's not real. I said, it's not real. You got to overcome your handicap. I said, you got to overcome your handicap. How? How do you overcome it? How do you overcome it? Maybe that's why we are taking lessons from the snake. The snake has used the absence of legs. He has used the absence of hands to fit into small places. I said to fit into small places. You lift a stone and there's a snake. Then you wonder, how did it get there? He said, because I don't have any hand, I don't have any leg, I can slide. Yes, you have a handicap, but you can overcome that handicap. I'm talking to some people, but I'm not receiving faith now. I said you can overcome that handicap. Oh yes. Amen.
Amen.
Push your neighbor and say, stop crying. In fact, from today, the only place you can cry is when you are praying, when you are talking to God. Stop crying. Tell the neighbor on the other side, stop feeling sorry for yourself. As far as I know, the snake is yet to write a letter to God and say, oh God, give me some legs. I noticed the lions have got legs. Where are my legs? Oh God, send me some hands. I ain't got no ears. Give me some ears and some. Have you been told that he has written such a letter to God? He has not written such a letter. Rather, He has looked for how he will survive without those legs. How he will survive without those hands. How he will survive without good ears. How he will survive without eyesight. And I tell you, he has become good at it. You are somewhere, you have a handicap, you better start to get the mind of a survivor. You better start to get the mind of somebody who says, it is true I have a handicap, but I'm going to survive. Hallelujah. Let me give you a few principles for overcoming handicaps, then I'll be done. Overcome your handicap by taking the stance and the posture of an overcomer. Amen.
Amen.
In other words, position yourself and say, I am going to overcome. I am going to overcome. Are you there? Accept it. That is a handicap. Accept it. Are you in the house? Number two. Know that everybody has got handicaps. One of the lies of the devil. He goes around telling us that we are the only ones who have the problem we have. And it makes you feel so bad. I said it makes you feel so bad. I'm talking to some people today, but I don't think that they're understanding what I'm saying. Handicaps. Everybody has them. In some form or another. One of the handicaps Bishop Doug has is his color. His father is a Ghanaian. His mother is a Swiss lady. So he's what we call a half caste. And in Ghana, we have a belief that half castes are bad. Please, is it not true? Is it not what we grew up knowing? We therefore even have words that we call them. Here too. Good. So, he grew up in a country. You see, he has never lived anywhere else. He's only lived in Ghana, even though he could have lived in Switzerland. So in Ghana, he's treated as a foreigner. As a white man, and when he goes to the country of the white man, he's treated like a black man. Everywhere, even at the height of ministry that he is, very few people invite him anywhere. You see that you are quiet. Yeah. You thought you were alone. When you recognize and accept your handicap, you begin to look for ways to overcome
it.
So as he grew, he realized that he cannot do anything about his color. He is as they say he is. But sometimes when he's preaching, then he said, you know something? He said, I realize my color is all over the world. Everybody, he goes to South Africa, the coloreds think he's part of them. He goes to South America, they think he's there. He goes to the Arab countries, they think he's an Arab. He goes to Palestine, they think he goes to Israel, they think he's an Israeli. Anywhere that he goes.
South Africa ali nkala ndi nzathu. Akapita ku Marabu ali ndi uyu ndi muyuda nzathu. Kulikonse zikwayendera chifukwa cha khungulo mwero.
There's another side of your handicap.
Mbali ina ilipo yacho chinga chako.
I said there's another side of your handicap.
Mbali ina ilipo Oh
yes. So he may have problems in Ghana. He may have problems in some places. But some other places he's able to enter easily.
Easy.
I remember in the days after 9/11. They thought he was an Arab man. So when he's going to fly, they will check his baggage and check and check it. As if he's a terrorist.
Twin Towers, 9 September.
Your handicap is a handicap. Accept it. And then overcome it. When I was growing up, I was taller than the average Ghanaian girl. My bishop here says still, I won't mind him. And the reason is because part of my heritage is from Sierra Leone and places where they are a bit taller. But it was a handicap. Because I was taller not only than the girls, but the boys also. So I wasn't happy about it at
this
all.
Is my
and you know, children can be very wicked.
Children.
Hey. I became so self-conscious. Because all my friends were beautiful, cute, petite young girls. All my life, even today, my assistant is a cute, beautiful. Are you in the church? So maybe it's not a problem for you, but for me it was a major handicap.
And
at that time I didn't know Jesus too. And as a young lady, I also wish that the men would think I'm beautiful. And if we were walking down the road, the guys who are sitting around, they will whistle. I don't know what you do here in Malawi, but if I turn, they say, oh, not you, the other one.
Hey!
I tell you, it was not easy for me. I went to the university as an unbeliever. And on Friday night, there was always a party or something somewhere. And my roommates, they all had dates. Somebody is coming, they're going to go out. Somebody's come take them to... Nobody under the sun. From my first year to my fourth. Invited me to go anywhere. If you saw me at the party, I've come myself because I'm feeling. Hey! Are you in the church? It may not be a handicap for you, but for me, it was a disaster in my life. Then I met Jesus. And I came across a scripture which said that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I would wake up in the morning and I would look at the mirror and I'll say, Lord, that's exactly how it's supposed to be, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then the Lord used my mother to help me. My mother was just a bit shorter than me. And my mother, and one day my mother said, she said, you know, you're just like my mother. That's my grandmother. I didn't meet her. She died before I was born. And she said, in our village, my mother used to walk as if she owned the world. So as Jesus gave me confidence, I said, I'm not going to hide in no floor. God, you have given me height and you have added size. Excuse me, I'm walking into the room. I am a child of the living God. I ain't got nothing to be shy about. Come on. Oh yes, I don't know what your handicap is, and definitely it may be more serious than what I'm talking about, but what I'm saying to you, accept it, and when you accept it, turn it to your use. I want to tell you about my friend Dr. Irene. My friend Irene grew up with some kind of chest problem. It was there for many years, but she went on, she had a normal life, she got married, she had children. But at a point in her life, she was dependent on oxygen. For 6 years, she was bound to her house. She could only go out for a maximum of 2 hours because the oxygen canister that you can carry out lasts 2 hours. Even to go to church was a problem because they will have to keep their eye on that oxygen canister 2 hours. Her doctor told her that she needs a lung transplant, otherwise she would die. I remember the day we got a phone call saying that lungs had been found that matched her. I think from a young man who had had an accident and was, had died. And she was going in for surgery. Irene went in for the surgery. And the lung surgery was successful. But, tell your neighbor, but. When the doctors hooked her back, you see, to do those surgeries, it's a very complex thing. They literally, something is circulating your blood for you, something is breathing for you. When they connected her back, the blood flow to her legs never restored. So Irene came back alive, but without her two legs from above the knee, amputated. For a few weeks she lay in the hospital and ask God, why? I believed you all these years. What is the connection between my lungs and my legs? But you see, I need to tell you that this friend of mine, you and I, we read the scripture. Irene eats the scripture. Oh yes.
Oh yes.
She quotes it by chapter. And we were still crying when Irene made peace with her two amputated legs. Are you in the house? And as she healed, they came to talk to her about false legs. What do you call them? Prosthetic legs. I have to tell you, I have not seen a human being use a handicap like Irene. Irene travels around the world. She has traveled more on her false feet than she ever did on her real feet. Beautiful woman. And she moves around preaching faith, talking about believing God. telling you that she is a survivor, drawing people to the Lord. And when they think, oh, after all, you have it all together, she will sit in the middle of the conference and unhook her two legs and ask you, what is your excuse?
What
is your excuse? I want you to look at your feet and say, I still have my feet. I still got my hands. Maybe there's no money in my pocket, but I can still talk. I can still laugh. I can still move. You are not helpless by any means. If only you will allow your mind to change. Hallelujah! Yeah. For the 6 years that Irene was locked up in her house, her husband told her, he says, you have preached from your computer to people in 26 countries, more people than you ever preached to when you had legs. I'm talking to some people today. Because you have submitted yourself to the grinding poverty. And you've tried to lift yourself out of it using the tools that the world has. As you are leaving here, your eyes on Him. On Him. On Him. Paul taught us. Because the Lord taught him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You say that you have a handicap, give it to Him to use it. I said, give it to Him to use it. He will turn it around. Your life is not over. God will still use you. As I close, I'm sharing with you another testimony of the young lady who is my assistant in church. She has walked with me for many years. And out of the blue, she was struck with something in both legs. We thought it was a passing situation. Until one night I had a dream of her in a wheelchair. And I jumped up and I told her, this is not a joke. Well, time passed. And as time passed, her ability to walk declined. The doctors could not find what was wrong. She had surgery on both legs. You know, there are many things we don't think about. I don't know how ladies pee here, how you wee wee. I don't know. But where I come from, you're sitting on a loo or you're crouching. I want you to imagine how a lady pees when her knees don't bend. I watched her come from the hospital. And there she was, a young woman holding a walker. She had to learn to walk again. She had to learn to climb stairs. For many years, I had the video of her first climb up the stairs. Her husband was walking by her. And she was screaming with every step. She went back to do physio. And she began to walk. And she said to me, Mommy, I will never preach again because I can't stand. I don't know where something came over me. And I said, you will preach if even you got a set. I don't mind, I will buy you a chair. But it is not over until the Lord says it is over. Our tears have been many. Her three sons had to grow up quickly. Because for some years she couldn't stand to cook. Are you in the house? I'm happy to tell you, God has not yet fully healed her. And she needs to take painkillers every day. But she's moving on those legs. And she's preaching on those legs. I have pastors in my church who I have placed over people. Some of them are in charge of 200 of the people. Some are in charge of 400. My little lady, whose legs are not working, is a preacher in charge of 1,200 people. Just last night, she was sending me a text. I'm on my way. I just finished with the crusade here. I'm going to preach over
there.
You got a problem? You have a handicap? Turn it. To your use. And continue on the road that God has given to you. You cannot speak English, but you can preach in Chechewa. Preach in Chechewa. If people come to your church who need English, let somebody translate. It cannot be a problem. I have preached in many villages in the north of Ghana. I don't speak one word of the language. And when you have no money, keep walking. When you have no more money, keep walking. Keep walking. Don't stop. Don't stop. Man may not be able to do anything about it, but God. I said, but God. But God. But God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The God who sees will answer you. I said, the God who sees will answer you. Oh yes, he will anoint you and he will help you. What I'm saying to you is not theory, it is a fact.
Oh, yes.
I have children who are missionaries, my own children. I have two of them are missionaries in Madagascar.
If
you think Malawi is poor, it's because you have not visited Madagascar. And I am not the one keeping them going. Oh no. Some of you need to go back and find work to do. To survive.
Yeah.
Some of you need to farm to survive. But whatever you need to do, keep doing it and keep on going. Keep doing it and keep on going. Keep doing it. Keep doing it and keep on going. Life is not perfect. Life is not perfect anywhere. Am I talking to some people this morning? God will take care of you. Oh yes. I have another son. My second son is a doctor. He is a lay pastor. He has a good job and he owns this in Gambia. He tells me that at the end of the month, his missionary brothers earn more than he does
on their
online jobs that God gave to them. That is God. I said, that is God. He's going to take care of you. Next year, I'm coming back to this conference, not even as a preacher. Don't worry. Not as a preacher. I'm coming to come and join you. And I'm going to come and hear your stories. I will find it. Please, will you still give me a seat so that I have a seat somewhere? And then you'll come and tell me what God has done with you after this conference. Somebody, your church is turning around. 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 Somebody, you left home. When you left home, there was nothing in the house. But as you return to the house, some provision is going to meet you over there. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
I'm excited. Because something good. I said something good. I said something good. I said something powerful. As you go back, your dry preaching is now going to become anointed preaching. Suddenly, the people in the community are going to say, we don't know what's happened over there. We don't know what's happened in that corner. But if you want to meet God, he's in that church. He's in that church. He's in that church. Let us go there and meet him. Oh, yes.
Amen.
He's turning around. He's turning it around. And then he's turning it around. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. And from today, say, if the serpent can survive, can thrive without legs, without arms, without good eyes, without ears, then me, plus the Holy Ghost, what can we not do together? Give the Lord a shout. Stand to your feet this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, just close your eyes for a moment. Oh, just begin to soak in another dimension of the Spirit of God. Oh, yes. Thank him as we come to the end of this conference. The last few minutes. Something is happening in somebody. Something is happening in somebody. Oh, Shandolabosi Mataya Dalaba. Mokaya Baba Baba. Oh, we give you praise. Oh, we give you praise. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord Jesus. Oh, Kima Sandala Baba, Robo Yandala Masende, Mikayandala. Ah, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Mashanda la Baba, la Baba, la Baba, la Baba, la Baba, Mandala Baba, 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 come on, lift up your hands and pray. Oh, the showers of the Spirit. Oh, the showers of the Spirit. The showers of the Spirit. Lifting you up. Refreshing you this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My shando the bus in the baby. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful of God. I am the Baba, oh, hallelujah. Ikayandalama. Ishodalababa. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. What an awesome thing. What an awesome outpouring. What an awesome presence. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I commit the church in Malawi to your hands. Thank you. I thank you already for the miracles and the things that we're going to meet as we return home. We are so grateful. Thank you that you are turning our handicaps, oh God. That which was our weak point is becoming our strong point. Ah, we are going to thrive. We're going to do well. We're going to rise. In our weakness, your strength is being made manifest. Oh, thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the thanks. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just linger for a moment thanking him. Just linger for a moment. Just linger for a moment. Hallelujah. Awesome God. How great thou art.
Holy name, Lord, we bow and worship. Worship the King of Kings.